A very good morning to you all. Good morning, church. Welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. Welcome, especially to those who are worshiping with us for the first time or who may be doing so after a long time. Welcome also to our brothers and sisters who are on Zoom and to those who will be following the service from our website afterwards. If you are here physically this morning, you have one advantage over those who are worshiping via Zoom or will be watching the service afterwards. You can go to the church hall and have teas and coffees and cakes and biscuits after the service. Our call to worship this morning is Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, there is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside, they have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Will evildoers never learn? Those who devour my people as men eat bread and who do not call on the Lord? There they are, overwhelmed with dread, for God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel will come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation, is hymn 124.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we approach your throne of grace with reverence and gratitude. And as we prepare ourselves to reflect from the sacred pages of Genesis and John, we seek your presence now to illuminate our hearts and our minds. Open our spiritual eyes to discern the deceptive snares that surround us, and help us embrace the liberating truth found only in Christ. May our time in this space, O Father, enable us to draw closer to you, and may your Spirit guide us into deeper understanding. Holy and compassionate Father, we humbly come before you acknowledging the persistent deception that seeks to entangle us. Forgive us for the moments when doubt has clouded our trust in your word, and when we have been lured away by the cunning lies of the enemy. We confess the shame, guilt, and brokenness that sin has brought into our lives. Lord God Almighty, our hearts are heavy for those who are held up in sin, suffering from poverty, disease, and the consequences of war. As we come to you in worship and prayer, we lift them up to your throne of grace, asking for your mercy and healing touch. Lord, in your mercy, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, renew a steadfast spirit within us, and extend your grace to those in need. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray always, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, Bind Us Together, Lord, is from Junior Praise number 17.
Thank you.
Good morning, children. Hello, everyone. How are you doing this morning, beautiful children? Are you all well? Are you all well?
Yeah.
I wish I were too. I'm not feeling too well. You can hear from my voice. I have a cold, so don't come close to me. Did you have a nice last week?
Yeah.
What was special? Any special thing you want to share with the church? Did you have any special moments last week?
Yeah.
Yes. I have some questions to you this morning before we begin our talk. Have you ever had to make a choice? I'm sure you have. Probably thinking about your favorite toys or deciding what game you want to play. So all of us make choices. Today, I want us to talk about the choices that we make and see what we can learn from it and from a story in the Bible. Before we do that, can anyone share a time when you had to decide between two things? Anybody wants to share? Yes? When you had to decide from two games.
Yeah.
Good. What games? Do you remember? Okay, you don't remember. But you had to decide between two games. Maybe going to play football in the winter cold or staying at home to play a TV game. Anyone? Yes? When you had to decide what to eat first from your packed lunch, what do you usually have in your packed lunch? Bread and apple. You must be living very healthy. So what did you decide finally? Did you start with an apple or with bread?
Bread.
You started with bread and had the apple afterwards. Beautiful. So choices. Choices we've got to make. Now, there is a story in the Bible about the first people, Adam and Eve. They were in a garden. So picture that scene of people being in a garden. Two of them, they were with God, and they had everything. God said, you could have everything that is in this beautiful garden, but there was one thing they were not allowed to do. They were not allowed to eat from a certain tree, which is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God told them that the day they will eat from that tree, something bad will happen to them. And then a snake came through and said, look, that's not true. What God is telling you is not true. If you eat from that tree, you will even be a better person. So don't listen to God. Listen to me. And when he spoke to Eve, the woman, he asked her to eat some of the fruit from that tree. And then she also gave some of it to Adam. And everything changed. Because of that, sin entered the world because they had disobeyed God and made a wrong choice. They made a wrong decision. And because of all that, many other things have gone wrong in the world. Now think about the choices you make and how they affect yourself and how they affect people. Let me take a common example. Sometimes you struggle to get out of bed in the morning on a school day, do you? Do you struggle sometimes? And something says to you, yeah, well, you can just sleep. You don't need to go to school. If you don't go to school, what will happen? Yes? You won't learn. And if you don't learn, what will happen? Yes? You might not get a job. But the thing is, we need to go to school because in school we learn so many other things. It's not just about getting a job, but we learn good things that help us to be better people in society. So just like we make choices about which food to eat first from our packed lunch, or what toy to play with, or what games to watch, we also make major decisions about our lives and the things that happen around us. Sometimes we may make really bad choices that will affect so many people in the world. Some of the problems that we have in the world, like wars, are caused by bad choices. So what we learn from the story of Adam and Eve is that we have to be good. God has told us so many things in the Bible we should not do. We should not do those things. Sometimes we want to do just the things they have asked us not to do, the forbidden things. But we have to be obedient to God, to do what is right, what is pleasing to Him, what will help us and what will not bring destruction to us. Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you again for our children. We thank you for this children's talk about choices, the decisions we make. We know that our children are young and still growing, but Father, you open their hearts to learn your word so that they grow in it and with it. Continue, O Father, to strengthen us in our resolve to do only that which is right and is pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next theme is In Christ Alone, that beautiful hymn.
Thank you. The reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 19. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from a tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." And the New Testament reading is from John chapter 8, reading from verse 31 to 45. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. The only Father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word. Our next hymn is 465.
Let us pray. Holy Spirit, be our guide as we navigate the complexities of this world. Illuminate the path of faith before us that we may walk in the light of your truth. May the word preached and heard inspire faith, transform lives, and strengthen the bonds of fellowship within our congregation as we serve you in the world. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning I would like to reflect with you briefly on the theme From Eden to Freedom, or the deceptive snare and the liberating truth. There is a rather funny story or an anecdote which goes like this. One day, good and evil met on the seashore. They said to one another, "Let us bathe in the sea." Then they disrobed and swam together. After a while, evil came out and put on the garment of good and walked away. When good came ashore, she could not find her true garment. To hide her nakedness, she had no choice but to robe herself with the garment of evil and walk away. The sense behind this story is that when evil steals the garment of good, good is left with no choice but to wear the garment of evil. And that seems to be what is happening in the world today, as evil actions and attitudes are lauded sometimes as good. In such a world, those who do good are given no choice but to assume the role of being considered evil. Maybe a little bit different from what we encounter in our texts this morning. There are two pivotal passages of Scripture which we are dwelling on, Genesis 3, verse 1 to 19, and John 8, verse 31 to 45. In these verses, we encounter the ancient story of humanity's fall and the timeless words of Jesus Christ about true freedom. And the theme that binds these passages together is the contrast between the deception that ensnared humanity in Eden and the liberating truth that only Jesus Christ offers. In the Garden of Eden, Satan, disguised as a serpent, craftily enticed Eve to doubt God's goodness and God's wisdom. And the serpent's cunning words led to the disobedience of God's command, plunging humanity into the darkness of sin. The aftermath of disobedience, as we are told, is a world that is marked by sin. Shame, guilt, and broken relationships have emerged as consequences of the fall. And so God pronounces consequences, he pronounces judgment. But even in that, there is a glimpse of hope with the promise of a Savior who will ultimately crush the serpent's head. And so John 8, 31 to 45 is about liberating truth that comes from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in John 8, 31 to 32 declares that true discipleship is grounded in abiding in his word. The liberating truth is unveiled through a genuine relationship with Christ. Believers will know the truth, and that truth will set them free from the bondage of sin. What Jesus Christ does is that he exposes the source of deception, labeling the devil as the father of lies. Those who reject the truth align themselves with the devil's desires. But true freedom comes from acknowledging Jesus' teachings and recognizing him as the ultimate source of truth. What can we learn from these two passages for our own Christian journeys today? The first is for us to recognize the persistent deception. For the story of the Garden of Eden serves as a cautionary tale for us Christian people today. The serpent's tactics persist in many different ways. There are many people who still doubt God's word. There are many people who want to distort the truth. Postmodernists say that there is no absolute truth. It's a matter of construction and reconstruction. You have your truth, I have my truth, all of us are true. And there are many people who are tempted, including Christians, to rebel against the word of God that does not resonate with their own personal and selfish interests. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we must stay vigilant against the subtleties of deception in our lives, in our culture, and even within the church. Secondly, we must embrace the liberating truth of Christ. In a world that is captivated by falsehoods, Jesus' words in John 8 offer a sign of hope. True freedom is not found in the empty promises of worldly ideologies, but in a living relationship with Christ. We are called to abide in his word, allowing the truth to permeate our lives and set us free from the shackles of sin. And then we must live as children of the truth. As followers of Christ, we are not only recipients of the truth, but also bearers of it. Our lives should reflect the character of our Heavenly Father, who is the God of truth. In a culture that is drowning in misinformation, we Christian people are called to be examples of honesty, of integrity, and unwavering commitment to God's word. Dear friends in Christ, from Eden to freedom, the story of Genesis and the words of Jesus in John's gospel represent caution and hope. As believers, let us remain rooted in the truth of Christ, recognizing and resisting the deceptive snares that surround us. May we embrace the liberating truth that transforms us into children of the light, shining in a world desperate for the clarity found only in the Word of God. Let us pray. From Eden to freedom, the deceptive snare and the liberating truth. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you haven't left us in the bondage of sin and futility to the devil, but that you long to liberate us with your truth. You have spoken to us through the message of your holy word. Help us, O Father, to be open to it, to keep this within us, and to live out lives that are worthy of our calling. We pray for times, O Father, when we too have been disobedient in our own lives and have brought consequences upon our lives which we would love to avoid. Forgive us and renew us, remake us, and help us to be better people through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. 153.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Let us dedicate our offering and ourselves, and let us intercede. Heavenly Father, as we present our offerings before you, we recognize that everything we have is a gift from your hand. Just as you pronounced consequences in the aftermath of disobedience, we surrender our lives, our resources, and our talents to you. May these offerings be used for the advancement of your kingdom and the relief of those in need. Bless these gifts and multiply them for your glory. Compassionate and mighty God, we intercede on behalf of the world that is entangled in the webs of deception, poverty, disease, and the consequences of war. We pray for those held in the clutches of sin, that the light of your truth may penetrate their lives, breaking the chains that bind them. Bring comfort and healing to those suffering from poverty, disease, and the scars of war. May your peace reign in the midst of turmoil. We specifically lift up those facing the harsh realities of war, especially those who never asked for such devastation. Lord, be their refuge and strength. Bring forth justice and restoration to war-torn lands, and may the nation seek your ways of peace. We also remember our congregation here, Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland, asking for your continued guidance and blessing. Strengthen our faith. Build better relationships within the congregation and empower us to be a light in our community. Our dear Father in heaven, in a world drowning in misinformation, may your church be a beacon of honesty, integrity, and unwavering commitment to your word. Lord God Almighty, may we as your children be vessels of your love and compassion, actively involved in alleviating the suffering of others and sharing the liberating truth of Christ. All these prayers we lift up in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. If you are able, please stand and together let us affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, junior priest number 226, as we bring this service to its close.
Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.